All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Shares of corporate sponsors may be the subject of buy or sell recommendations in Jay Taylor's newsletter in accordance with Jay's objective opinion.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. This hour will help investors fix issues and achieve personal gain. Now, here's your host, Jay Taylor.
Welcome to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, talking to you from New York City, the borough of Queens, on this, the 18th day of January, 2022. I want to thank all of you for listening to the show, making it one of the more popular shows on the Voice America Business Channel. Also, I'd like to encourage you to send along whatever comments you have about this show, positive, negative, or whatever. Send them along. We'd like to hear from you. We also want to thank our sponsors for making this show economically viable. This week's sponsors are Novo Resources, El Oro Resources, Hannon Metals, Irving Resources, Lion One Metals, SK Mining, Firefox Gold, and Timberline Resources. Novo Resources has been a sponsor for this show for a number of years because it has been one of my favorite stocks. In transitioning from an exploration company with a very unconventional gold discovery in Australia and with some very unusual production challenges, the company's level of production has been disappointing and its share price has fallen to around 90 cents U.S. in today's market. With Novo being a company I have covered in my newsletter, and with it being one of my largest personal holdings, I would be lying if I told you I was happy about the outcome so far. But after decades of watching the mining sector, I have come to realize that how important it is to remain patient if you believe in the merit of a project, as I do with Novo's very large scale of project in Western Australia. I know there are people listening to this show who are very unhappy with Novo's price performance, so I asked Quentin Henning if he could provide a statement that I could read to listeners on this show. He agreed to do so, and this is what he gave me to pass along to you. And I quote Quentin, and quotes now, "I am very optimistic about this coming year. While it has been rough in the short term, I am looking down the road at a lot of good things to come," end of quote. And I didn't get specifics from Quentin, but reading the press releases and talking to him occasionally, I have in mind he's talking about mechanical sorting. That's a technology that has been used extremely successful in diamond production, has not been used in gold production until now, but all of the work that they've done up to this date suggests it is expected to be very successful. And what that means for Novo is that they can pick up gold from these extremely coarse nugget projects, concentrate it on site, and then haul a concentrate to the mill. That's the idea, and of course they are working on it now to make sure that it is foolproof and that it will work. But that is one thing I know he's looking at very carefully, and we should be hearing some news on that in the not too distant future. Also, Quentin's strength, of course, is his exploration expertise, and he is very much involved as an advisor to the company in his role as a non-executive co-chairman to help the company in their exploration exploits, and they have had some very positive results in and around the Nulligan Mill. So I wouldn't be surprised at all to find them delineating some sources, some resources of gold to the mill. That could be very helpful in the not-too-distant future as well. So those are some of the things I believe that are on the horizon that I think are going to help Novo ultimately come out of this. And keep in mind as well, in addition to the $32 million Canadian dollars that they have in the till right now, they also have a huge stake in Newfound Gold, which will provide a substantial resource, a financial resource for them as they need to use it going forward. So I know at least one gold industry executive who has been buying these shares on the way down. That's a difficult thing to do. Most people start buying when the shares go up. I will be personally watching this company very closely, and we will have Quentin on the show, I'm sure, in the not-too-distant future to give us an update. Turning to today's show, I've titled the show Beating the S&P 500 with Kevin Duffy. Kevin Duffy, Patrick Highsmith, and Michael Oliver return as guests this week. Over the last 16 months, Kevin Duffy's conservative coffee can portfolio has gained 54.14% compared to a gain of 43.8% for the S&P 500. He achieved that result despite 20% held in reserves, 7.71% in portfolio insurance, and 18.15% in gold stocks, which, as we all know too well, have not performed very well over the last year. Unlike the S&P 500, Kevin's coffee can portfolio appears to be in a position to profit from or at least reduce losses in a major equity bear market. And keep in mind that Kevin was hugely successful in the 2008-2009 bear market, in which he made huge profits in the fund that he was managing then. Kevin will join us to share his investment philosophy, provide his views on the economy, and let us know how he has positioned his portfolio to weather a growing inflationary threat, and at the same time protect his wealth from a likely equity bear market. Given that U.S. equities are the most overvalued they have ever been in American history, and given that there is a huge amount of foreign money invested in U.S. equities, the threat of a major decline in stocks as interest rates rise must be taken seriously. So you won't want to miss what Kevin has to say, and that's coming in the second half of today's show. In just a few minutes, Patrick Highsmith will be joining me to introduce the story of Timberline Resources. That's a new sponsor to this show. Timberline has large, highly prospective gold exploration targets in Nevada. And Patrick, like his friend and former Newmont geologist, colleague of his, Quentin Henning, Patrick is of the same philosophy that when you're looking for gold and silver deposits, you have to go big or go home. The smaller deposits simply don't cut it. They're not economically viable in most cases. So I would expect that Patrick will talk about some of these large targets that he's looking at in Nevada. But right now, I'm really happy to tell you that one of our most favorite guests, Michael Oliver, is with us once again, and really pleased to have him join me. It's OliverMSA.com, OliverMSA.com, to follow Michael's work. Thanks for joining me again, Michael.
Hi, Jay. Good to be back.
Well, it's good to have you back, especially on a day like today. And now we're seeing big declines in the equity markets in the United States and I suppose around the world. But I just saw some information recently that the U.S. equities are, you know, more overvalued relative to almost any metric you want to look at than other countries, that a lot of the other lesser developed countries seem to have much more reasonably priced equities relative to their earnings and so forth and GDP and all that. But anyway, what are your thoughts about the equity markets? Or take it wherever you want, whatever you want to talk about first.
Well, I know there's a lot of fundamental metrics that argue what you just said, but the U.S. market is definitely overvalued by this metric or that metric, and I agree. From a technical perspective, especially measuring the long-term momentum of the market, we've described it as the biggest bubble ever in stock market history. Mm-hmm. And big bubbles break, okay, period, exclamation point. We think the Fed, which created the bubble, will also break the bubble, and they're probably on course to do that over the last, since June, when they started talking about tapering and now rate increases. And so their favorite markets that they supported and outright bought over the last year and a half, up to summer of this year anyway, like muni bond futures, muni bond ETFs, high yield corporate debt ETFs, they literally bought these things outright to support them. And now they've ceased, and these markets are now taking out the lows of the last year and a half, the muni bonds, for example, whereas the S&P is just coming off its high. We think that the stock market, what we primarily focus on, aside from a few key stocks, Microsoft, Amazon, and Apple, we think that as those three go, the world goes, okay? But we also look at the S&P 500 and NASDAQ 100, and they're fracturing certain levels. We won't put up the full red light yet, but they're definitely dancing on top of glass, and it looks like they're ready to go through it. We don't think there's going to be a crash-like event like we had in early 2020. where we dropped 35% in 3 weeks, and our definition of a crash is about that. That's what happened in 29, that's what happened in 87. It was of the 35% dimension in weeks. What we're looking for is a major top signaled, and we have our numbers very specific, and they're not far below. And if they're triggered, we think we'll have the onset probably of a first drop being of the dimension of, oh, maybe 20%. That's it's an idiot number because so many people believe in that issue of, well, if it's more than 20%, it's a bear market. You know, it's so silly. I don't know where they come up with that number. But anyway, but it happens to be that we think that the first bounce point is about 20% below here. Now, if that occurred, of course, extreme doubt would sweep the markets. A lot of asset managers who've been very doubtful, like Ray Dalio's of the world and so forth, will say, I told you. Okay, and a lot of the younger asset managers who were, you know, all glib and happy will suddenly get some sense of reality. And the Fed will get a sense of reality. So this notion of we're going to raise rates, well, look what's happened just over the last, let's say, several weeks. They're going to raise rates, right? Okay. So what's happened? The Bloomberg Commodity Index from the December low about 4 weeks ago has rallied over 10%.
Wow.
Okay. So it's not intimidated by the Fed. Okay. Meanwhile, the NASDAQ 100 has dropped almost that much since the high of 3 weeks ago. So which market is most vulnerable to the Fed wanting to, quote, stop inflation? They've never wanted to really stop inflation because if you look at the history of it, since 2008 and 9 when they went into the QE stuff, they inflated. And inflation went into an area that was okay for them, stock market, muni bonds, junk debt, and so forth. That was acceptable, quote, inflation. But then when the commodities start to turn up, after being smashed for, you know, since the 2011 highs, Bloomberg Commodity Index was up at 180-something and dropped to about 50. Right now it's only at 104, so it's hardly, you know, it's not even back to the 2011 highs, and yet they want to smash it. Well, the problem is what they're going to smash is their own bubble. And I think gold knows that. And it knows that ultimately the central banks of the Western world, including Japan, ECB, BOJ, and the Fed, will at some point have to give up any notion of fighting inflation in the manner which they're talking about, because it's going to destroy their bubbles. And we definitely have the biggest bubble. Now, if they have to reverse course, what's gold going to do?
Oh, my goodness.
They're going to go back to monetary stimulus again, which is what they do. That's what the Fed has done for over 100 years. The only issue is the rate at which they do it. So we live in an interesting time, and I think you've got to watch that stock market because I think the Fed will at some point suddenly realize, uh-oh, we've got to come up with some new terminology.
You know, some new spin.
I don't know how they change policy after changing policy so abruptly as they just have. Now, and again, look at a gold chart. Back in mid-June is when they had their first announcement of tapering and potential rate increases, the Fed meeting, Fed minutes. Well, look at mid-June. We're in 18, 40, 50, 60 area. Where's gold right now? It's trading around 18, 20. So if you shorted based on that news, quote, new fundamental, it's been repeated and repeated and increased in terms of its volume. Gold is sitting here, you know, if you're short, you're making 20, 30 bucks if you're lucky. What we think is going on right now on a short-term basis, silver just crossed some numbers today that look pretty good, that indicate to us they might get to a really key level. And for silver, a really key level is just a ballpark at around $24.50. We're trading 23.60 right now. You close the week out around 24.5, and we think silver is ready to launch. And it will join what gold said in November when it went through some key levels and has remained above them basically since then. Silver will join in, and I think when that occurs, it's at that point that the miners in particular will flower, will start to perform well. Right. So we, anyway. We're getting close, I think.
Yeah, so yeah, I know you needed to see silver confirm the move in gold, and it didn't happen the first time. So it,
no,
this
in November,
is a
it
very
stopped a penny and a half short of our number.
Well, it's looking very strong. I mean, the last I looked, it was up some 50 cents today. So it's silver's having a great day. What about the miners, Michael, with just about 30 seconds left here?
Okay, the real key thing on the miners is, one, if silver does cross our numbers, again, ballpark at around 24 and a half on a weekly close, the miners will likely then engage. They're laggards. They're like a slingshot. You know, mm-hmm. they go real low when you go down, and then they flip-flop, and they're extremely powerful on the upside. What we're watching on the miners right now is a very interesting spread relationship between the GDX ETF and mm-hmm. the S&P 500.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks to us like that spread relationship, meaning the relative performance of miners versus the broad stock market, is bottoming.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't take a lot in terms of a good weekly close on that spread for us to declare, okay, the spread has shifted, miners are now going to outperform the S&P again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The last time we had such a signal based on momentum was about about 1 month after that March low in 2020. Remember when they bagged the
uh-huh.
gold miners?
Yep.
And
yep.
they flipped up sharply. The spread broke out, and not only did the spread perform well, it beat the S&P for the next 4 or 5 months. Dramatically, but net price of GDX exploded.
Mm-hmm.
We think we're in a similar situation now. We're not at the numbers yet, but mm-hmm. it wouldn't take a heck of a lot of relative performance shift favoring the miners mm-hmm. to then outperform the S&P going forward, which could be a combination of two things. One, S&P decline, and also gold miners going up, which mm-hmm. is our suspicion of how it'll turn out. But we're very close to that point right now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very good. Well, thank you very much, Michael, for your insights. Again, always valued, very highly valued by our listeners, and I want to thank you for sharing them with us. All
thank
right,
you.
Folks. Well, you bet, Michael. Well, folks, don't go away, because we're going to be right back with Patrick Highsmith, who's going to give us a new story to this show. It's Timberline Resources. Patrick Highsmith will be with me right after the break. Don't go away.
SK Mining Corp, trading under the symbol ESK on the TSX Venture and ESKYF on the OTCQB, is a mineral exploration company targeting precious metals, rich VMS deposits in the heart of British Columbia's Golden Triangle. SK Mining controls a prospective land package totaling 130,000 acres, which lies across a geologic trend that once hosted the prolific SK Creek Mine. With a world-renowned geological team, funding in place, and shareholders such as Eric Sprott, SK Mining is on the cusp of a world-class discovery. Go to skmining.com to subscribe for updates.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.